games on the schedule?
No!
That doesn't stop us from talking football. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. Here are your hosts, past WFCA President Tom Swiddle and WSSP High School Insider Big Time Mike McGiver.
Hey, welcome into the Pick and Save High School Football Coaches Show. How's that?
Sounds great.
That's good. Thanks, man. It's good to see you, Mr. Swiddle. It's been a while.
It has, and I apologize.
Welcome home. No worries.
But Vegas called.
Vegas calls. You got to answer that phone call. Did you guys have a good trip?
Very good trip.
Good. That's you in the casinos did okay. We talked. If you break even or a little bit under,
yeah.
You're all right.
Yeah.
You had some fun doing it.
I had fun doing it.
That's the key. Hey, I'm excited about today's show. In studio with us the entire 2 hours is Doug Sarver, head football coach St. Francis. He is the all-star game chairperson for the WFCA game coming up. And we're excited about talking to all the coaches that are part of this. And it's interesting, Tom, when you talk about, you know, the all-star game, people just see the finished product. You know, they see up in Oshkosh, they go to the event, they go, man, it's a great event. You know, can't wait to come up next year. But this thing is a year long of planning.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, on Doug's part, he does so much work in terms of the organization. He's involved in every facet of the game. So we're going to get a great look at that. And the one thing I think is lost on people, you know, you take on the responsibility of being a coach for one of the teams, except in my instance now. But, you know, you're not only doing all the things you need to do for the All-Star game, which is quite a bit, but you're also running your own program still. So you've got double duty with football that year you take this on.
And, you know, Doug, when we talk about the All-Star game, you know, a lot of people just see what happens on the field. They don't know how coaches are selected. They don't really know a lot about some of the sponsors that have been with us a long time on this thing and the great work that these kids do, these families do to raise money for Children's Hospital. And that's such a key part of what goes on.
Yes, I think that they don't realize how many things go into planning this All-Star game every year, and something starts in November and ends in July, and so it's about a 9-month-a-year job.
It's it's a lot of work, and I know from talking to Tom when you're not around, Doug, the amount of respect that these guys have for the work and the time that you put in, and what a great job you do with this, and we want to thank you for that. Let me run down our show real quick for you. 10:15 and 10:30 today, we're going to talk to Don Ketizor. He is kind of the driving force behind eight-man football. He's a coach at Luck. He's the North coach for eight-man, and we'll learn a lot about eight-man football from him. At 10:45, Derek Updike, he is the coaches at Arcadia, and he's a coach for the South Side, the small division. I'll get this out, Tom. Shane Strong at 11 o'clock from Glenwood City will join us. Tom Nenick from Mayville. He was at Hartford for a long time, now at Mayville. And Pat Keenan, who is from Gibraltar, will join us as well. And then Kevin Mazza from Badger Max. They're a sponsor of the All-Star.
New sponsor.
New sponsor. Yeah. And Badger Max is doing a great job with high school athletics. They really are. And they're making sure that people understand that they're not only – you know, here and you can buy it at Pick and Save in a lot of different places, but they're giving back to the community, which is really important. Hey, before we get into this and talking to Doug, this is, and I don't want you to get all mushy on me, but this is the last time you're going to be able to coach your boy.
Yeah, it
right?
is.
And I know that feeling. It's a tough feeling. And I'm wondering, had you thought about that prior to, you know, us getting closer to the All-Star game?
Not specifically like that. You know, my involvement in the All-Star game, being able to coach again, I coached in 2007 in the game. You know, I was only going to do it if TC, you know, earned the right to be on the team.
Correct.
And obviously he did. So, you know, that's an added bonus is to be able to participate in the All-Star game again as a head coach and then also to coach my son for the last time.
You know, it'll be fun, Tom, that part of it, and I don't want to get into too much of the whole Dr. Phil thing, but what'll be fun, and I wish that I had had that opportunity, my son Matthew, the last game that I got a chance to coach him, we're in a state finals for the Christian schools. So there's a lot on the line.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a lot of time to goof around and have a little fun, and we had to go to work.
Yeah.
And this, I think, gives you guys a chance, though the game is competitive, there's no doubt. But you get a chance to spend that week with them, and it's not like a state championship where it's live or die.
Right.
It's let's go out and compete and have some fun.
And you know, in 2007, TC was our ball boy, if you will. He spent the entire week with me at Whitewater, participated in all kinds of things, got every autograph of every player.
That's awesome.
And so it'll be good, cool for him to have a little different experience with that.
No doubt. Hey, Doug, can you go through the process of how coaches are selected on this? So when you look at Tom Nendick, and let's just utilize him as an example, for the large school division on the north side, how does that happen? How does the head coach, and then who selects the assistants?
Okay, the way it starts is that on our WFCA website, there is a nomination process. So the head coach or somebody that wants to nominate the head coach can go onto the website, make the nomination, and then in November, after the nominations close, our executive board of the WFCA will then select the coaches of each level to be the head coach of the All-Star Game. From there, the head coach will then select his staff from also the nominations that are given on our website or from people that may be coaches on their team or they have relationships with over the years.
You know, looking at your staff, Tom, I know most of those guys. Yeah. I don't know Bill O'Leary from Milton.
Right.
But the rest of those guys I either know and I know of. That's a good staff.
Well, and the majority of those guys are guys that I've coached with. You know, Ben Chosick was on my staff and Ben Veit was on my bit. Matt Harris, Jake Walter. Those are all guys that I worked with, and I love and respect those guys. And the opportunity to work with them one more time was just too good to be true for me.
Yeah.
And you know, Andy Kolstad, who's our defensive coordinator, I've known Andy his whole life. His dad, John, is one of my very best friends, and I've just watched Andy. He was a great player at Green Bay East and River Falls, and he's a great football coach. So it's just,
for me,
it's just really nice to be able to work with guys that I know so well.
Tom, when you put the staff together and you guys come together as a staff, like you had said that he's our defensive coordinator. Will you give guys specific roles on that staff? Like Jake Walter, offensive coordinator,
Jake is going to be coaching DBs.
Okay.
In this game, yeah. Ben Chosick is the offensive coordinator, and Ben Veit and Mike Beck from Franklin, and I hadn't coached with Mike before, but what an outstanding coach he is. He's going to be doing O-line, and Matt Harris will be working receivers. Ben Veit will be working with running backs.
That's a good staff.
Yeah.
Not only do you have to respect them as coaches and you know, be a group of coaches that can come together and have a good time but work together as a staff, this has got to be a group that is willing to put the time in and show up and work hard and know what they're getting into for that week.
Right. And, you know, the coaches are involved on every level, from fundraising and reminding the kids to do that kind of thing, along with the responsibilities of what you're going to do offensively and defensively. I've kind of taken sort of the role of administrator. I'm the guy that connects directly with Doug and the Children's Hospital people and all that, and I try to keep my coaching staff out of that way. And they're maybe doing a little bit more of the football thing than maybe I would do for Brookfield East, for instance.
Yeah, I think, Mike, when we look for head coaches in the All-Star Game, we look for guys that have been part of it before. Someone that may have been an assistant coach or a head coach before, so that gives us an opportunity to have guys that know what they're doing, been through the process, understand what we need to be done. In Tom's case, he was a head coach before in, I think, 2007, Tom?
Yeah.
Yep.
And so he's been able to be through this before and understands a little better. And Tom, I think you... the differences between 2007 and 2016 are quite a few.
Oh, unbelievable. 2007 was the first year that we partnered with Children's Hospital. And to see how Children's Hospital's involvement in the game with the organization and the fundraising and all the, you know, website fundraising and things that they've introduced, and it's grown from one game to three games. you know, since 2007. And a lot of that, again, is because of Doug. He's really done a tremendous job with that. It is a completely different experience in some ways.
People, you know, again, go out to that game and they don't understand. You guys come together, you'll be at Whitewater the week of that game, correct?
Right.
And it's just not football that you guys do. There's a lot of different things that you do, not only as a staff, but as a team. You had said something last year when we had this conversation. You said, look, these kids come in thinking that they're getting ready to play in an all-star game. But when they walk out, there's so much more that they learn, yeah, not only about themselves, but about Children's Hospital, about the need for what they're doing. And they get a chance to make some lifelong friends on guys that they competed against that, yeah, they thought they didn't like so much, and now they're buddies.
Besides the game itself, and Doug, you know, certainly I'm interested in what you would think, but for the South, on Wednesday night is our scrimmage night, and parents come in. We do a pretty much a formal scrimmage on Wednesday night, but part of that night is representatives from Children's Hospital comes in with children who have been serviced by Children's Hospital, and they get a chance, these young kids get a chance to talk to the players. It's heart melting, I'm telling you. It's an emotional experience for our players.
I've always felt that Wednesday night is when our players really start to understand why they're playing the game. When they get to interact with these children, hear the stories from mom and dad about the surgeries or what they've been through, they start to understand, hey, I'm really playing this game for something special.
And also in part of that, Mike, is we've got a number of players who have also been part of Children's Hospital with surgeries. My son, when he was 1.5, had eye surgery at Children's Hospital. You know, so I mean, it's weird to think about,
right,
that now, you know, TC has a chance to give back.
Hey, before we get to a break, if people that are listening and don't have a dog in the fight, but want to give and help donate some money to this, can they go right to the WFCA website?
No, they should go to chw.org/WFCA. That'll be the site that they can go on and find out a lot more about the game.
And we'll promote that throughout the show, but it's chw.org/WFCA. You can donate $5, $10, $100, whatever you want to do. If Switter would have won some money in Vegas, maybe we could have done a little bit more. Guys, let's get to a break. Other side of the break, the head coach from Luck, he is the 8-man North Division head coach, Don Kedzor from Luck, will join us again. He's kind of the driving force behind 8-man football, and we'll learn quite a bit from him on the other side. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show. We're presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising, Leadership Development. Quit making fun of me because I can't say this guy's last name. He is from Luck, and he is the driving force behind 8-man football. We're going to learn a lot from Don Kedzor. There you go. Hey, Don, Coach, how are you today?
Doing well. Sitting up on a high hill in the Blue Hills by Rice Lake just to get some good reception.
Yeah, that's...
So you didn't climb the tree. You told me you were going to climb a tree, Don.
Come on, man.
Well,
get up.
But there's way too many mosquitoes out there right now.
Put a little rappel on and get up that tree. Hey, Coach, thanks a lot for a few minutes of your time. Hey, how are things going for the North Division 8-man side? You're the head coach for the WFCA All-Star Game coming up. And you're excited about getting involved in this, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I've coached, you know, in 2011 with the 11-man team as an assistant. I'm looking forward to being the head coach, and as well as the players. They've all accomplished their goals, getting their fundraising stuff done. So it's the only thing left right now is to practice and play the game.
Don, Tom Switl, thanks again for being on the show. Doug Sarver is with us as well. Don, I'd like to talk about the All-Star game, but first I want to talk about 8-man football in general. I think As Mike said, you are really, in my opinion, the driving force behind eight-man football. You're out there. You're the leader of that movement. And I would guess most of our listeners are very unfamiliar with eight-man football, as I was. The first eight-man game I saw was last year's All-Star game and was quite different. Give us a little background of how eight-man football came about in the state of Wisconsin, reasons why.
Well, back in the 1960s, early 60s, I do believe that, you know, there was reduced man football in Wisconsin. And then all of a sudden, the last, I guess, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, teams are finding that they're not having enough players come out for football, as well as the size of players. And, I decided to get together with, you know, the New Auburn coaches and some of the teams in this area to see if we could do something about, you know, keeping our programs going instead of co-oping. And there was like 7 or 8 teams that were very interested in it, and we felt from a safety aspect that it was the right direction to go instead of having freshmen play at the varsity level, that we thought maybe we could, you know, get a reduced man program going with the WIA, and so far it's been going quite well. We went from 16 to 18 teams, now we're up to about 24 to 26. So it seems like things are going in the right direction with eight-man football.
And you had, you say eight-man football, but you had the option to play nine-man football. The reason for eight rather than nine?
Well, I think it just, you know, you're eliminating both tackles, which is the larger players on the field, as well as the back when you go to eight-man. And we figured if we're going to reduce, we might as well reduce down to where it's going to be effective instead of, you know, nine's close to 11, closer than eight. And so that's the direction we decided to go.
Okay.
Hey, if I can, explain the difference. Are there different rules for 8-man than there are for 11? And is there more scoring? Because I don't know a lot about 8-man. And, I worked for an arena football team for a few years, and I'm wondering if is there a lot of points that get put up in 8-man football, and are there different rules that kids have to learn?
Well, can be a lot of points put up. You know, we just played in the Jamboree last year, and we put up 110 points on the team. But the biggest problem was we gave up 64.
And you fired your defensive coordinator,
yeah.
I hope.
Yeah, you can't.
For sure. Well, the biggest problem was we couldn't stop them, and they couldn't stop us. It was two real good teams going at each other. And with reduced man football, no lead is ever safe. I mean, I've been up by 3 scores with 3 minutes to go in the game and have gotten beat before. So it's a wide open game. You got to be better at blocking downfield as well as open field tackling than I do believe 11 man teams are, and you just have to constantly work on that with kids. And you don't see a lot of real heavy kids playing the reduced man football because you have to be quicker and faster. And that's where I think you see some of these colleges recruiting players that are from the reduced man football, because they're looking at athletes instead of by position right now. I do believe the Badgers have recruited several guys. We currently have 21 players playing somewhere at the college level that have played reduced man football, as well as 2 players this year are going Division I. So you have to be a pretty good athlete to play that game.
And you mentioned, reduced player, but you also play on a reduced field. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, that is correct. I do believe it's 7.5 yards from each sideline in, that it's narrower of a field. And other states, as well as, Iowa and Montana, have adapted the 80-yard field. We have decided to, we went with the 80-yard field for a couple of years, and then the WIA decided, let's just stick with 100 yards because of possibly playoffs down the road, as well as doing the Jamboree, that it's a hassle in order to reduce the field down. So, and it does make it wider open when you're adding on 20 more yards.
Is it do you take out both tackles and then you decide on that third? I mean, can you play with a tight end?
You can play with the tight end, and our formation does run something like that with double tight, and actually the tight end is where the tackle would be, as well as reducing one back out of the backfield. So if you were to split both of your receivers out, you just have a center and guards on each side, and then 2 guys split out.
your running backs, if they've got to be able to block as well, I'm sure. If people can you blitz defensively, can you bring the house if you want?
Well, you can bring it, but you're also taking a chance that you know, if you get by one guy, it's wide open. Who's going to tackle the next person? I mean, yeah, it's very exciting. If you were to drive by an 8-man football game on a Friday night, you could not tell the difference that it was not an 11-man game. Everything's the same. You got to block, you got to tackle, and you got to hit.
Hey, Don, did the people in your community, in the Luck community, do they buy in right away to this?
Well, they really were skeptical if they wanted, they thought it wasn't real football. But then once they started seeing these players, perform like we did the years before, they thought, this is good. We're giving kids the opportunity to play the lower level of JV football instead of being thrown into the wolves on a Friday night. And, it's real football. I mean, you can talk to Chad Greenwade for the Vikings. He played reduced man football, and it's the real thing.
Mike, when Don and I met about 3 years ago, we sat down and talked about 8-man football and maybe being able to bring that game to our All-Star event. And one of the things that was struggling at the time is they wanted to get to a certain number of teams so that the WIAA recognizes them for tournament play. And so this was one of the things that I thought was, hey, this is a great opportunity to promote 8-man football.
You bet.
And get them the opportunity to be seen a little bit more and get some rewards and awards for their time. So, Don, how's that helped you out?
Well, it's helped out tremendously. The first 2 years, we put on our own 8-man football all-star game. One was in Rice Lake, and then the next year was at Middleton. So when the WFCA decided, let's bring these guys along, it was a tremendous boost. And you could see it in the players, too. And especially this year, they're excited. They've seen players the last year go to this all-star game and have a great time and the experience they had. They brought it back to the school and told other players. So we had quite a few kids for 8-man being nominated. We could only take 20 for each team, but it's helped tremendously, as well as recognizing, an all-region team and an all-state team through the WFCA.
Do you guys here in studio with me envision 8-man ever coming to Southeast Wisconsin?
I think it will at some point. I'm just trying to think what's the closest school to Southeast Wisconsin that is playing 8-man. Don, would you know that?
Well, Maranatha Baptist, which is in Watertown,
yeah,
a school that I'm pretty familiar with.
I think it's inevitable, but there are some restrictions. It has to do with enrollment. You couldn't have a school of 1,000 deciding to play 8-man football. Don, do you want to touch on that a little bit? Like, what makes you eligible for 8-man football?
Well, the enrollment that the WIA has in place right now is 200. If you're above 200, then you would not be eligible for the Jamboree at the end of the season, which they take the top two teams, top from the north, top from the south, and they play, and then the second, two, and third, and fourth. And if you're over that 200 mark, you're not eligible to play. But you are eligible to play one more game after that. So 200 is the enrollment WIA has put out there, which I think is a great number. You go to other states, they're down in the 160s and 175s for reduced man football. And one of the problems that I see that is going on right now, probably maybe in the southeast and the southwest parts of the state, is one or two teams, sure, they want to go. But then the travel to get into a conference is unbelievable, 3-4 hours. And, we're running into some of the same things for a non-conference game up in our area to where, we'll travel over to Michigan to get a game. Prairie Farm last year traveled down to Middleton to play the defending state champions from Michigan for a game. So, and we're willing to do that just to hopefully get 8-man up into the 30s and 40s so we can, increase the tournament from 8 teams to 16 to 32.
I think Don hit on the southwest part of the state. I think is next place where we're going to try and get some 8-man teams. There's some small schools out there playing 11-man football with maybe 15 to 20 players on a team. So that's the next step. I think in southeastern Wisconsin, to answer your question, Mike, I think any of the private schools, the smaller private schools, will start looking at that at some point when they can't compete in 11-man again.
Yeah, I think sooner than later that'll happen, and the WI will have to then have a state champion, right? They're going to be forced to do that. And I think it's something they want to do once the numbers of teams get up there a little bit more. And I think that people that listen to this show, they're going to know a lot more about 8-man 3 years from now than we do now.
Absolutely.
Down in this area. Guys, let's get to a break. Don, can we hold you over for one more segment?
Yeah, that's fine.
Great. You're up on that hill, and you sound great here. So let's keep you up there for this last segment that we have with you. He is the guy when you're talking about 8-man football. He's the head coach at Luck. He's also the coach of the North Division 8-man for the WFCA All-Star game coming up in July, and we'll continue our conversation on the other side of the break. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the WFCA show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host, past president for the WFCA, former head football coach at Brookfield East. I always cringe when I say that, Coach. Former.
Former,
your,
yeah.
Your decision.
Still hasn't sunk in entirely, Mike.
It will. When you hear the band that first Friday night.
Yes.
Tom Swiddle and our special in-studio guest for the entire 2 hours, head football coach at St. Francis, and he is the All-Star Game chair for the All-Star Game coming up in July, Doug Sarver. Online, he is the head coach from Luck. He is. We're talking 8-man football. Don Kedzior. Hey, Don, when you guys made that decision to go to 8-man, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the All-Star Game, did the numbers in your program increase, or did they stay the same?
Well, the numbers in our program stayed the same. You know, we had a spell of 4 or 5 years to where we only had 6 to 7 boys per class. So you can only get so much out of what you have. So we knew the numbers were going to be reached before we went to 8-man in the future. So that was the main reason why we took the jump into it and read it. I mean, it's been the best thing that's happened at our school. We can play JV football. We're competitive every year at the varsity level. And the school still has the pride of having a football game either a Friday or a Saturday afternoon.
That's awesome. Hey, Don, I want to talk a little bit about this All-Star game coming up July 16th at Titan Stadium in Oshkosh. The 8-man game is at 10 a.m. The small school is at 2 p.m. Large school is 6 p.m. I know that Coach Swiddle and the guys down in this area go to Whitewater. Where does your staff and your players, where do you guys come together and get ready for this game?
Well, we'll come together, you know, as Oshkosh, and both 8-man teams will be at Oshkosh just because their facilities can take 2 8-man teams as well as the North Division. You know, I do believe it's 4 through 7 and 1 through 3. So there's quite a few players that are at Oshkosh, and we'll meet there on Saturday, the coaching staffs, and get everything prepped, ready to go for the players who will come in on Sunday.
And you guys then will spend the week together talking to the guys here who have been involved in the All-Star game quite a bit, as you have, Don. Two things that really jump out at me as a guy from the outside. One is so much more than just a football game. You know, you raise a lot of money for Children's Hospital, and these kids get a chance to meet some of these players they compete against. And talking to players in the past that have played in this game, you know, 10, 12 years ago, say, hey, look, these are still friends of mine. Guys that I spent a week with, room together, played, you know, on the same side with, are still guys that I reach out and we go out and have a soda or a beer and talk about that game. Do you see that with these kids with 8-man? Same thing's going to happen with those guys, I'm sure.
Yeah, I see that definitely happening. Like I said, when I coached in 2011 as an assistant, you know, not only the players, but also the coaches. I made great friends with coaches on, you know, the team that I coached for a full week is, you know, and it was just a great experience. And that was one thing I was worried about, you know, how am I going to get these guys together as a team for 1 week? And up north there, it's difficult to raise these funds. I mean, we're coming from small schools that may have a bar and a gas station in their town. And they've been tapped ungodly all year for fundraising efforts. And so we decided this year to put on a youth camp, and we just hit every community that's on the team and see how many players we could get there, or youth players that we could get there, and all players were required to be there to coach these kids up for 4 hours. And we did get 80 players. I wasn't happy with the amount that we had, but that's kind of how I roll. So hopefully next year we can double that. But just watching the players coaching these young kids up was just a phenomenal, you know, effort that they did. And it was only $20, and these kids got 2 hours of great football. We had two segments going on, you know, from, what was it, 9 to 11 and 11 to 1. So hopefully next year it'll grow. But just seeing these kids come together, just that the youth camp itself, I knew my job was almost done. I mean, they got along. They went out to eat afterwards. So it was a great thing. And like I said, this game coming up in July is secondary compared to what we're doing for Children's Hospital. I mean, these kids deserve the best.
Don, let's talk about your team a little bit. You know, highlight your coaching staff, highlight players for us to watch and get ready for in July.
Well, my coaching staff is, you know, I have Ron Hannestead from Prairie Farm, who's undefeated in our conference up here for 4 years and has won 3 titles in the Jamboree. Phenomenal coach. And then I have my 2 assistants from Laku. You know, we've been 3-1 the last 3 years at the Jamboree. They've been there with me the whole time. Great offense and D coordinator. That's Matt Dunlop and Ryan Humpel. And then I went outside the box a little bit, and I got an assistant coach that coached with me in the 90s that's down in Wild Rose. And he's won, I do believe he's had 14 out of 15 winning seasons. And he was with me when we won 28 straight games in the Lakeland Conference up here when we were 11, man. And that's Tyler Caswell. Just a phenomenal coach down there. So we have a really good coaching staff. And the players that we've selected are unbelievable, too. I mean, Prairie Farm's got 4 players. Lux's got 4. New Auburn's got 4 players. Minog's got 3. So, you know, when I say, you know, we're taking 4 or 5 players from each team, so having each one of those kids, you know, fundraise $750 or more, you know, like I said, it's a lot of work, but it's well worth it. It's going to a great cause. And these kids feel good. You know, they're not getting the numbers like the $2,000 fundraising efforts, but for them to get $750 and 3 of their other teammates from the same community is quite a, well, you know, a great task on their part.
Hey, Don, thank you so much for your time. And it's really important, I think, for our listeners to understand a little bit more about 8-man football and understand this is it's true football. It's just a little bit narrow field, but these kids give certainly every bit the effort that kids at 11-man and 8-man. I'm looking forward to watching that game, 10 o'clock on July 16th. I'm sure I'll be in studio, but we'll have it up on the TV here, and we'll get a chance to watch a little bit more about 8-man. Have a good summer. Good luck with that game, and certainly enjoy the time that you get to spend with that coaching staff and the kids on that roster.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
You bet.
Thanks, Don.
Thank you very much. Guys, let's get to a break. Other side of the break, Derek Updike. He is from Arcadia, and he is from the South Division small team. He's the head coach over there. And we'll get an update from him on how things are going. Again, that game is coming up in July, Oshkosh at Titan Stadium, July 16th, 10 a.m. is the 8-man, 2 o'clock small school, 6 o'clock large school. And if you haven't been up for that event, I would highly recommend you do that. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save, WFCA High School Football Coaches Show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, alongside 2 co-hosts this week, Tom Swiddle and Doug Sarver. Hey, before we get to our next guest, real quick, Kevin McKenna and I are going back and forth on text. Said, you were one heck of a baseball coach. He's doing a fundraiser today, the Pick and Save in Germantown for a youth baseball team. And if you're in the Germantown area from 11 to 1, stop by that Pick and Save. Say hello to Kevin McKenna for me. Johnsonville brats for a buck, water for a buck.
Well, you can't beat that.
Can't beat it. 100% of the proceeds go to the team that he's, I believe he's coaching, and they're raising some money for. Again, pick and save in Germantown. Say hello to Kevin McKenna. I told him, you said he could never hit a curveball.
Yeah, Kevin, I did not say that. I did say was you were the fastest player maybe ever to play baseball at Tulsa East.
Yeah, that's not
saying
much.
And very versatile, could play any position.
And got thrown out of a lot of games, I think you told me. Let's get to our next guest. He is a football coach in Arcadia, Derek Updike. Derek, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you sound great. Man, we really appreciate a couple of minutes of your time. Hey, we're talking a lot about the All-Star game coming up in July, July 16th at Titan Stadium in Oshkosh. Let's talk a little bit about your role, and you're going to be the head coach for the small school division on the south side of it, the South Division, along with a couple other guys, a guy from Dan Miller, who is a friend of this show from St. Catharines, and a guy from Clinton and West Salem, and good coaching staff. You excited about getting to this game, Coach?
Oh, yeah. See, I got to coach in it 2013, and probably one of the best weeks of my life. It was just a great experience. Said I need to get back down here and do this again, and had the opportunity this year to be a head coach. And luckily, Doug Sarver and the boys said, why don't you come on back and help out? And I'm really excited about it.
That's awesome. You know, as we talk about this game, Coach, and I don't mean to ask, you know, each coach the same question, but it's so much more than just the football game that happens on the field on that Saturday afternoon. There's so much that goes into putting this event on, and raising money for Children's Hospital is at the core of what we're doing here.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, we just sort of wrapped that up with the fundraising, and it's good to see the kids really buy into that and understand what it's all about. And that you're right. It's not about the game. That's one little part of this week. It's one two-hour portion of an entire week, and the event leading up to that with the fundraising and all the camaraderie that happens nowadays with the social media between the kids, and almost seems like they know each other before they show up at camp, and I'm really looking forward to that.
Derek, both South squads will be training, doing their week of preparation at Whitewater, and your staff and my staff had the opportunity to sit down at the clinic and kind of talk about how we were going to break things up and that kind of thing. And what really struck me about your staff was how excited, I mean, truly excited they were to participate in the game as coaches. And have you seen that in your preparation, that your guys are just off the wall excited to be a part of it?
Oh, I would say that's an understatement. Yeah, every other day I'm getting a new text and an email and whatever else about, hey, we need to practice schedule for this day, and, you know, how about this? What do you think about this idea? And, you know, it's nice to see that fervor, but I'm also trying to temper it and say, hey, you know, we'll get to that. Just relax.
Less is more,
you know,
right?
Doing great, you know, but they really are excited about it, and I think they understand there's a competitive edge we all have on game day. But they get that it's really about the experience for the kids and about the experience for everybody, you know, the parents and the children who we fundraise for at Children's Hospital. And so they understand it's a bigger picture, and it's kind of nice. They just got done, you know, they're getting done graduating, come in the summer then, and it kind of propels them on to their future with college plans and whatever else they're doing. And really is a nice way for them to grow up fast and understand that, you know, we're not kids anymore. We're now the productive members of society. And this game is one last opportunity for us to kind of hold on to that and kind of bridge that from the being a kid to being an adult.
Hi, Derek. Doug Sarver.
Hey, Doug.
Hey. Earlier segment today, we talked about Tom being able to coach his son one more time, and you take a little different story here. You have your son as one of the team managers in the game, and I know you had that before. How does that reflect on your experience?
Oh, that was unbelievable experience for us. We, you know, you get to room together, and I was a little concerned when he came before. I mean, he's a sixth grader now, and came 2 years ago as a third going into fourth grade. And, you know, I had to have a game plan in case it wasn't going that well that week. You know, Mom, come and pick him up. He ate up every minute of it. And the kids, you know, the the players, they embrace having some kids around, and they, you know, you can really tell. I always tell these guys, you know, I can tell a lot about a man by the way he treats children, and these guys really, they made him feel such a part of it, and I know these guys will too again this year. And the excitement he has, it's all he talks about. You know, he's so excited about the All-Star game, and so you know, it's a great experience for him. He goes on and promotes our sport with his friends, and you know, promotes the whole idea of Children's Hospital and raising money for that. And you know, I remember when we were raising money for that in 13, and I said, Caden, it says that you gave $62 at the camp here for that. That's, you know, that all your allowance? He says, Dad, it was for a good cause.
That's awesome. Good for him.
He understood that, and Doug really, you know, you helped give him a good experience. So yeah, he's so looking forward to this.
Derek, how have you divided up the responsibility on your staff? Who's doing what in regards to the coaching?
Okay, Dan Miller is going to be our defensive coordinator, and he's pretty excited about that. In fact, when we had our meeting that day, first got to meet the players, and we were kind of introducing the coaches, and he got up there and he gave them a little speech about what he wants to do and about how he wants them to train and work out and come to camp in shape. And I'm not kidding, I was ready to cover a kick when he got done talking. I was so excited.
He's good.
And you know, the kids really fed off of that, and I know I have a few players in this game that said, I can't wait to play for Coach Miller. So that they're excited about that. Chad Noel is going to be a D-line coach, and then for the DBs, there's going to be kind of a joint effort between we have a wide receivers coach who's kind of working with that, Jason Wheatenhiller, and do that. And then we have Justin Leonard. He's a defense coordinator from Mineral Point. He's going to kind of run linebackers, and there'll be some times where he'll work with the DBs and other times where the wide receiver coach will have the DBs. You know, so we'll kind of rotate that through. Offensively, Spivak down there at Clinton, he's going to run the offense for the most part with Justin Yane from West Salem. And they've kind of divided. They already told me how they're doing it. So in terms of dividing up the practice thing. And then, of course, Wheatenhiller working with them. O-line coach is from Oliva Strum. That's Chad Hansen right up the road here, whom I had never even met before this. And here he's 30 miles away from me. So it's a great opportunity to, you know, for me to meet another guy that he's so excited. The first thing he said, I'm the old line coach. I hadn't even assigned it yet. So anyway, great staff, young staff. I felt like the old timer when the first question they had for me when we met was, we can have music at practice, right, coach? So
yeah, we did talk about that, didn't we, Derek? The music at practice.
You know what? I was impressed with you too, Tom. I thought that you and I would be like, music at practice.
No. I've done that the last 4 or 5 years at Brookfield East. It really adds something, I think.
Yeah, I'm just a little worried I'm going to start doing some karaoke or something in the middle of practice. So hopefully the guys have a good plan, and if they keep me on track, if I get a little bit.
Derek?
Hey, if Swindle plays some disco music, just turn it off. Don't let him play that disco stuff, Derek. Go ahead.
Hey Derek. If you can give our listeners the opportunity to find out where Arcadia X actually is.
I think we kind of have a diagonal line that starts down there a little north of Milwaukee, and it kind of goes up, you know, sort of toward the Eau Claire area. And so it can't go even, you know, north and south, or we'd have way too many schools in the north, not enough in the south. So it kind of works out pretty well. There's a few times where there'll be people questioning, you know, say, oh, the Augusta, you know, they're north of Eau Claire. Why are they in the south? Well, we kind of keep that with the conferences, you know, and so your conference, all the people in the conference are on the same team, and that really is nice, because I've already seen here at track meet the GET guys and the Black River Falls guys, the Arcadia guys, Westby, they all play in the same conference, and they're all excited about coming and having some summer workouts together. And so it's kind of neat that way. The guys that you play against all year, you finally get to be teammates with. And so
that's awesome. Hey, Coach, we got to cut you loose. We got to get you a break, but have fun. Enjoy that week. It's just a magical week for the players and the coaching staff and the families and Children's Hospital, and we really appreciate the work that you're putting into this.
Hey, you know what? I appreciate it too, Tom, and I'm excited to see you coach. I don't be surprised if I don't sneak over there and just watch you once in a while.
That's awesome.
All right.
Tom won't mind that.
Thanks, guys, for having
you
me.
Bet.
I really appreciate it.
He is Derek Updike. He is from Arcadian, and he is the head coach for the South Small Division for the All-Star Game coming up. Guys, other side of the break, we're going to talk to Shane Strong from Glenwood City. This is the Pick and Save WFCA High School Football Coaches Show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.